Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Of Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from windy Nashville, Tennessee. How's it going today, Chuck? Great.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah, it's good.
We're trying to get this in before the weather that happened earlier.
Yeah. Is there weather?
Yeah. Well, you know, storms earlier, that passed through Nashville earlier.
It's nighttime, so we survived the storm. That's good.
Yeah. Maybe.
Wouldn't it be weird? If we don't survive the storm and then this comes out at its release time.
Yeah, or one of us didn't.
Yeah. And we're,
you know,
I think it would be good for business for whoever survives.
Yeah, it would.
I'm not saying I want that to happen, but it would be good for. Anyway, this is Liberty at Night with Nate Charlie.
Whose house do you think would get torn up in a tornado, a torn up in tornadoes?
I'm not really. Mine is less structurally sound than yours, probably. So, probably would be mine.
Although, I mean, yours is older, so it might have that good wood.
It's withstood. It's got that good wood.
Yeah, mine's got the COVID wood.
COVID tariff wood is what you have. Well, I've got non-tariff wood.
Also, you know, I didn't know this didn't happen when we were kids, but, you know, they dismissed school today 4 hours early. Did you see that?
Parker in some
now comes
areas.
Home. Or Parker came home earlier today.
Oh, yeah, earlier today, yeah, 11:50.
He did.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if he was going to get dismissed early. I have a family member telling me that they're dismissing school early for the eclipse next week because, now get this, if they have it as a school function where everyone goes outside and one of the kids takes their glasses off and stares directly into the sun, well, that's a liability for the school.
I had to sign a waiver.
And so they're letting kids out early in some places in Illinois because they don't want the liability.
So they can lose their sight with their parents.
And my response was, if they stare directly in the sun, they probably weren't going to make it that long anyway. So, you know, anyhow, I guess we'll get to see some part of the eclipse.
Anyhow, this is Good Morning Liberty, a place where we talk about life, liberty, and pursuit of meaning every single day of the week when we want to, and also on the Free Talk Live Network every Tuesday night, live from Nashville, Tennessee. It seems to be home of the tornadoes lately.
Yeah.
You know, in the last couple of years, Nashville has just been a beacon.
It has.
For tornado touchdowns.
It has.
It's been kind of sad.
It's climate change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems to happen. So that's what's going on here.
Yeah.
In Music Podcast City.
Windy City.
Yeah.
You know, anyhow, we've got a few things to talk about today. Actually, way too many things to talk about. So we're going to just get right into some of it. We're going to start off with a couple videos, actually, which always makes it fun. We're going to be talking about democracy. You know, democracy. You ever thought about democracy before?
Are we protecting it?
We do need to protect democracy. And RFK Jr. is going to have something to say on this. And then Hillary Clinton is going to have something to say on this as well. Mm-hmm. RFK is in hot water right now for saying that Biden is a bigger threat to democracy than Trump. Now, how about that?
That actually might have some validity.
I honestly cannot figure out what the strategy is here. Everyone says that he's there to defeat the other guy. Whichever party you're a member of or you care about, RFK is there to
get
the other guy into office.
They all got 33%.
That would be pretty cool.
33.33%.
And we just had a push-up contest to see who wins.
RFK.
Something
for
like
sure.
That. Would you rather have RFK than Trump?
No.
I would still rather have Trump.
Yeah.
I really would. You know why? Because RFK and Biden are both bigger threats to democracy than Trump is, in my opinion. Hey, let's listen.
And that's based on one important factor, which is the economy.
Yeah.
Now, the one problem with that, though, is, you know, Trump did sign the biggest spending bill in U.S. history, which in large part has led to the, you know, uptick in prices.
Do you really
what have we seen?
It's about upwards. 19% since COVID now.
Yeah. So basically 20%. In some areas, you guys have seen 100, 200% increases depending on the grocery item that you're buying.
It just depends on what products you buy, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's been unbelievable. And what's crazy is a lot of it, at least it seems to me, only because I know of what my grocery bill used to be compared to now. I mean, I went the other day, 350 bones.
Yeah.
And I got, it's me and a kid, you know?
Yeah. How many fillets did you get?
I only got two ribeyes this time.
I haven't bought steak in like 2 years.
And do you know, this time each steak was only $15.
Mm-hmm.
So it was only $30 worth of steaks.
Okay, okay.
So I spent $320. Most of it is like Parker eats a bunch of snacks, obviously, and I had to pack lunches and, you know, do the whole mom thing. And, and so, I mean, I remember most of the time I'd go to the grocery store, it'd be like, oh, somewhere between $100 and $200. I usually budget $200 a week.
Mm-hmm.
For groceries, which is a little on the high end, but we go to Publix and, you know, we don't really coupon or anything like that.
Yeah.
We might have to soon, but now I'm budgeting like $300 to $400 a week. It's literally gone up almost 100% on the stuff that we buy.
Yeah, but luckily Biden has brought the inflation down, so you don't have to worry about that anymore.
Oh, with that
inflation down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about democracy, by the way, I'm not okay. There's in my opinion, there's a couple different ways of talking about democracy. And I think a lot of times people mean different things when they're talking about it. There's the idea that the majority decides things. So you can have like a majoritarian democracy, simple majority democracy. We have ballot measures and things like that that are decided by a majority. And of course, that's something that I don't really like at all. Because the majority can be very tyrannical. And then there's the idea of democracy where the people have a say, like the people have a right to vote. And that is the kind of, I guess, democracy that I support, although I've seen some compelling arguments for monarchy lately. And feudalism. Someone asked the question the other day, which system would you trust would bring more liberty? I'm paraphrasing it. A representative, you know, constitutional republic where everything is held to the basically what we have right now. Just say that. Or Thomas Massie as king. And which one would be better for liberty? And that was a compelling question. I'll be honest with you, I selected Thomas Massie on that poll on Twitter. So, but who gets to say that it's Thomas Massie? More than likely, you would compromise in the middle, and it would be like Hillary Clinton or something like that.
Right.
So anyhow, here's RFK
Jr. Well, so we figured that out throughout history. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
They figured that out. That we base our constitutional republic on the fact that we figured out that we can't have power. That was the main thing that they decided was like, we have to limit federal power.
Mm-hmm.
Let's only give them very specific enumerated powers, and they shouldn't have any more.
Yeah.
The rest, everything else should go to the states and the people.
And to be fair, that worked for like 10 years.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They did pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's RFK.
But do you really believe that when people talk about the threat to democracy that Trump poses, do you really think that that is it equal?
Yeah, I mean,
to Biden?
I mean, listen, I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent. I can say that because I just won a case in the Federal Court of Appeals and now before the Supreme Court. It shows that he started censoring not just me. 37 hours after he took the oath of office, he was censoring me. No president in the country has ever done that. The greatest threat to democracy is not somebody who questions election returns, but a president of the United States who used the power of his office to force the social media companies, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to open a portal and give access to that portal to the FBI, to the CIA, to the IRS, the CISA, the NIH, to censor his political critics. President Biden, the first president in history, to use the secret, his power over the Secret Service, to deny Secret Service protection to one of his political opponents for political reasons. He's weaponizing the federal agencies. Those are really critical threats
Donald
to democracy.
Trump, of course.
All right. This is pretty crazy.
He's still, I want to know what she said,
he
by
still
the way.
Denies. Well, she's going to say Donald Trump
is worse.
she, of course, you know, had an insurrection on January 6th, tried to overturn the results of an election. I saw a longer clip, and that's what she comes back with. And then I didn't hear his response back to that. This is pretty crazy that Biden continues to deny Secret Service protection for RFK. It's kind of unprecedented also for you to be a major presidential candidate and get denied that. And that would work for some conspiracy theories later, you know, in the future or something bad where
that
happened.
You're telling me a Kennedy is not getting Secret Service protection?
Pretty crazy, right?
Yeah.
So I think you make some really good points here. And I do think that Biden is a bigger threat to democracy than Trump is. And, of course, everyone's going to use January 6th and trying to overturn an election. That argument works if you listen to all of the rhetoric and all of the years of talk about what January 6th was, which was this coup and this attempted overthrow of the U.S. government and all of that. And that's just not what it was. It was a political rally that turned into a riot where a bunch of people decided it would be funny to do a bunch of really stupid stuff inside of the Capitol and take pictures and selfies and stuff like that. And it got turned around and used for political gain by the opposing party. And that's basically all January 6th was. That's it. You can point to people talking about hanging Mike Pence and all that. I mean, there are people brought guillotines outside of Jeff Bezos's house before and stuff like that. Like, people do stupid stuff at rallies.
They were protesting outside of the Supreme Court justice's house.
You get more than 10 people together and the IQ drops to that of like a
10.
Like the dumbest monkey on earth.
Yeah.
Imaginable. Yeah. So
sorry, I was distracted by the live group, which you can join by going to joingdml.com. We're talking about a steak off.
A steak off. Okay.
Steak cook off. Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yep. So anyway, that's important to democracy.
Yes, that is important to democracy.
Well, people vote for the best steak.
For the best steak.
Yeah, so that's important to democracy.
Let's go on to talking about...
You know, her face just gets... every time I see it.
It kind of makes you sick, huh? There's a couple Hillary Clinton clips here. I guess she was on... Is it Colbert? She was on, and she's talking about the election. Two short clips here from Hillary Clinton.
I understand why this is even a hard choice, really. Yeah. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But we have to go through the election, and hopefully people will realize what's at stake, because it's an existential question. What kind of country we're going to have, what kind of democracy we're going to have, and people who blow that off are not paying attention.
Now, she just kind of blew off the entire idea of the election. She's like, I don't understand why it's a hard choice, but, you know, we have to go through the election, you know, to keep up this charade, you know, that we got going on. Yeah. It's kind of annoying that we have to go through it. That's sort of the mentality she has about it. Oh, Jimmy Fallon. Sorry, I said Colbert.
Yeah.
It's Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon.
Right there. And then she had something else to say about people who are upset about having two choices in the election.
But it's
you got two choices, you know, pull over the car, or you can do whatever Jay-Z said you should do, you know.
Yeah. We know that.
It is.
What do you say to voters who are upset that those are the two choices?
Get over yourself. Those are the two choices.
Yeah, I love that.
Right? And you know, it's kind of like...
Profound.
One is old and effective and compassionate, has a heart, and really cares about people, and one is old and has been charged with 91 felonies.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
okay, interesting.
I don't understand why this is even a hard choice, really.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
But we have to go through the election, and hopefully people will realize what's at stake, because...
Okay.
I told you steak was important.
And a lot of steak is important when you're talking about democracy. With the question of what do you say to people who are upset that these are the two, that we only have these two choices, that these are our choices, and her response
get over
is,
it.
Get over yourself.
Get over, yeah.
These are the two choices. Deal with it. Mm-hmm. Democracy.
Yeah.
You know?
Even though there's more than two.
There's more than two.
Currently. Yeah. Yeah.
There's RFK, the person we just talked about there. There's Jill Stein. There's...
whoever the Libertarian nominee is
going to
be.
Whoever Libertarian is going to be. I had no clue who it's going to be, and I don't feel particularly compelled at the moment for what's going on.
Oh, so you're voting for Trump.
Maybe we'll go to the convention and we'll talk to someone, and they're just going to blow our socks off about how excited we are for the Liberty Movement. So there's actually going to be, I think, like five fairly major choices on the ballot. But other than that, I don't like the idea that, hey, you know, it's Republican versus Democrat. These are the people that made it up there. Get over yourself. Those are the two choices. Democracy.
She basically boiled it down to one choice.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, there's one clear choice. Mm-hmm. And then we have to go through the selection process, yeah, which we really shouldn't because there's just one choice.
She seems annoyed, yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, democracy is messy, and you can't hang everyone that disagrees with you, unfortunately, for her.
One guy, you know, does have he's compassionate, has a heart and everything. Missing a brain.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But he's got that heart.
Which one is that, the Scarecrow or the Tin Man? I can't remember which one that is.
The Scarecrow's missing a brain.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But does he have a heart?
The Tin Man's missing a heart.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So he's
a scarecrow then.
He's a scarecrow. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Who's Trump?
If I only had a brain.
Who's Trump in this?
He's the wizard.
I don't think the wizard's that guy in the back room smoking a cigar, drinking brandy right
behind
now.
The curtain.
Whoever that is, you know.
Running the show.
Okay.
Who's RFK?
Is he the lion? I'm not sure.
He kind of sounds like the lion.
Is she Dorothy? God. Okay, anyway, let's move on to
a little bit of courage.
Something else that's happening. Now this, I think this is actually going to be a bigger deal than some Republicans want it to be, but Florida had this 6-week abortion ban, and it went through the state Supreme Court, and this is going to go into effect now, but what it essentially does is, since it's going into effect, there is the ability for there to be a constitutional amendment on the ballot in November to try and protect abortion rights for people in Florida. All right. So that's kind of what's happening right now. It was a 15-week. Now it's down to 6. And now there's going to be a constitutional amendment on the ballot come November. So here's this story, Charlie.
All right. The Florida Supreme Court on Monday paved the way for the state's six-week abortion ban to take effect, while allowing Floridians to decide in the fall whether to enshrine abortion protections in the state's constitution. By upholding Florida's current 15-week ban on abortion, the state Supreme Court triggered a 6-week abortion ban approved by Florida lawmakers last year. The law will take effect in 30 days, but in a separate ruling, the court approved the wording of a proposed state constitutional amendment that would protect the right to an abortion in Florida, clearing it to go on the ballot as Amendment 4 this November, when it could potentially undo both bans. Constitutional amendments in Florida need the support of at least 60% of voters to be approved. Monday's ruling will make Florida one of the most restrictive states in the country to obtain an abortion and set up a presidential year fight over reproductive rights in the Sunshine State. The Biden campaign on Monday cast Florida, a longtime swing state that has trended Republican in recent elections, as winnable in November as it seeks to mobilize voters around abortion rights. With the measure poised to appear in the state's ballot, Florida will join several other states, including Michigan and Ohio, where voters have weighed in directly on reproductive rights since the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. The initiative could also boost voter turnout in what is expected to be a close rematch between Joe Biden and Trump.
Those are the two options.
Yeah, the only two.
So the moral of the story here is where they've had these ballot measures for abortion around the country, there has been a very much outsized Democrat turnout. And it's what led to stopping the red wave in 2022 that everyone was saying was going to happen. A lot of these states put abortion measures on the ballot. And actually, ballot measures have historically been a good way to try and turn out support that you don't think is going to turn out. And abortion seems to be about the biggest one for getting people out. As I said several times, you should never underestimate a woman's desire to kill a child. And And this is actually going to turn out a lot of people in Florida, and it has the potential to actually swing. Remember, Florida used to be a swing state.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be. Then it turned pretty hard Republican. But if you get a ballot measure,
Bush cheated Al Gore.
Yeah, and everyone just gave up after that. They're like, you can't trust the Chads, and so people stopped going. Mm-hmm. For you kids out there, there was this hanging Chad thing for the votes, and it was pretty important in certain wars and stuff. Mm-hmm. So anyhow,
by the way, you remember the Democrats took that all the way to the Supreme Court?
Yeah. Challenging the results of the election.
Isn't that something?
So anyhow, I think this could be a bad thing for Trump in Florida, and I think people should watch out for stuff like this where they think it's a good thing. It needs 60%. I was looking at some poll results in Florida, regardless of political affiliation or whatever, 68% of female voters support a constitutional amendment to protect abortion rights, and 55% of male voters support a constitutional amendment to protect abortion rights. You would think that that men would be more in favor of abortion
than women.
Anyhow, all right, that's the last abortion joke I had.
Yeah,
that's the last one.
By the way, though, this is what the Supreme Court did. It said, "Hey, this isn't under federal purview. You should argue about this amongst yourself in the states."
Yep.
And I think as far as the law is concerned, I think that this is the right way to do it.
I think leaving it up to the states is a good idea also. As I don't want to get into an abortion conversation.
We don't have to.
Gosh, I was going to say, as long as you don't think abortion's murder.
Yeah.
You know, if you think it's murder, I mean, I don't think you want to.
There's still a moral case against it, obviously.
Know, I think if Texas was like, oh, yeah, murder's okay. You know, I think the federal government might come in and say something about that.
Yeah.
So, you know, by leaving it up to the states, you're essentially saying it's not murder, because no one would ever be okay with a state being like, oh, yeah, murder's fine.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, I know there's no federal law against murder. All the states have collectively decided that that's a bad thing. But what would happen if one of them decided it wasn't?
No, there's still federal law against murder.
Are there?
There's still capital. Yeah. There's still U.S.
Sure?
code. There's still U.S. code against murder, but typically it happens in the state jurisdictions.
Yeah.
So,
I got you.
But there's still you can still be a federal crime.
All right. Well, coming up, we're going to talk about the new minimum wage law taking effect in California, how that might just lead to more unemployment in a state that already has the highest unemployment rate out of all the states. Then we're also going to be talking about, well, a lot of dumb bleep. The live group is going to be voting on what the dumbest thing to happen in politics over the last week was, so you don't want to miss that.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. The White House expressed outrage over an Israeli airstrike in Gaza that resulted in the deaths of 7 World Central Kitchen workers. The Biden administration has called for a prompt investigation into the incident and demanded appropriate accountability. President Trump is urging the New York judge overseeing his hush money criminal trial to step down from the case. Judge Juan Merchan recently issued a broadened gag order. Trump has criticized Merchan, alleging bias and highlighting that the judge's daughter serves as president of a progressive political political consulting firm, which reportedly collaborated with President Biden and Vice President Harris. President Biden had a phone conversation with Chinese President Xi Jinping for the first time in several months Tuesday, the White House reporting that the two leaders delved into a variety of crucial topics, like China's backing of Russia during its conflict with Ukraine. John Schaefer, USA News.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
All right. It's all that today is the day that California fast food minimum wage is going up to $20 an hour. Assembly Bill 1228 is in effect as of Monday, setting wages for California fast food workers $4 above the statewide minimum. Now, why do they deserve 20 when all the other people apparently only deserve 16?
Yeah.
Are the only group that deserves a living wage are people who work at McDonald's? It also creates a fast food council to determine future minimum wage increases and to establish other employment standards at fast food restaurants, according to the Department of Industrial Relations. WTF is that?
Hey,
the
man.
Department of Industrial Relations?
Yeah, who you work for? I'm on the fast food council.
I did not have industrial relations. Employees of a national fast food chain with more than 60 establishments across the country offering limited service will receive the wage increase. This includes McDonald's, Pizza Hut, which announced it anticipates laying off over 1,000 delivery drivers as a result of the new wages. In an email statement, Joseph Bryant, executive vice president for the Service Employees International Union, said livable wages should be a priority for corporate fast food companies. Freaking unions. Mm. Have I mentioned I don't like unions?
Yeah.
It's bad enough they took down that bridge.
I know.
You know, and now they're over here trying to mess with everyone's fast food wages. Mm-hmm. Those who oppose the new minimum wage law have voiced concerns that Californians would have to pay more for their services.
Good.
The crazy conspiracy theorist saying that it's going to drive food prices to go up. That's weird. In a financial analysis conducted by the Roosevelt Institute, a nonprofit organization focused on all these things, concluded that the fast food industry's profit margins provide sufficient room to absorb higher wage costs.
I tell you what, they don't.
And so in the question of, is this going to cause things to cost more? Is it going to drive food prices up? They say no, because
they'll just take it from the profit.
They'll just take it out of their profits. And in the case of places like McDonald's, probably Burger King and a bunch of the other ones, they'll just give away all of their profits that they have, and they'll make no profits, and they'll make sure the food prices stay the same.
Mm.
And that's the official conclusion here from the Roosevelt Institute.
For the good of the community, mm-hmm. the graciousness they'll of their
it.
Own hearts.
They're just going to do it. No, they're going to keep the same profit margins, and they're going to raise the food prices.
Which, by the way, the profit margins are not that high.
No.
I know this. Well, I know this empirically because I worked as a manager at McDonald's, and I was responsible for making sure my labor cost fit into a certain percentage per hour.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do the analysis because literally off of that store, they were making anywhere from like 5 to 8% profit.
Yeah.
And so it mattered whether your labor was 20% or 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Per hour, you had to keep a track per hour. The goal was 20%.
And so when it went up to 50,
you guys
decided to not take profits at that time.
No, you had to cut people.
Oh, that's, okay.
That's what it was. Hmm. And it didn't matter what was coming.
So to keep the same profit margins, they just sent people home.
Exactly.
And they made less money. That way the store could keep... That's greedy corporations, man. Those are terrible groups. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be better if they just lost money and then they went out of business and it didn't exist and everyone there didn't have a job?
Right.
Isn't that better for everyone?
And for before they went out of business, they would be able to basically give away stuff for free.
Mm-hmm. Bryant, that's the union guy, he used the term scare tactics when addressing the threats of price increases and job cuts. You know, it's scare tactics because if you look across all the states in our union, California's right in the middle of the pack when it comes to cost of living. You know, there's just... They're not expensive at all to be there in California. And when you look at their unemployment rate, well, it's just got to be right there in line with the rest of the country, I bet. You know, they don't have more unemployment than other states inside the United States.
They have same homeless camps as we find everywhere else, you know.
Same camps.
Yeah.
For sure. He said corporations need to pay their fair share and provide their operators with the resources they need to pay their workers a living wage without cutting jobs or passing the cost to consumers. Brian,
do you know where most of like McDonald's profit sits?
Almost nothing.
In the stock market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're worth billions because their stock price is high.
Yeah.
That's it.
And they own a lot of... Real estate.
That they can borrow against.
Mm-hmm. By all of that. What people don't get is that there's McDonald's corporate and then there's the franchises who pay fees to McDonald's corporate to be able to have a store that says McDonald's and get all the McDonald's products. Those people don't make a ton of money. And normally what you get is someone who owns a couple McDonald's stores, a few McDonald's stores.
Well, to make a decent amount of money, you have to have a few.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, McDonald's requires that the store grosses at least $1 million a year. So if you open a McDonald's and it doesn't gross $1 million a year, that's part of the contract, the corporate will shut you down. But of that million, the owner typically makes around 100,000. It's 10%. But like you have the responsibility and the risk of owning a store and making sure that thing earns at least $1 million every single year.
You got to take out that franchise loan.
The only way these franchise people make any money for the ones I worked for is like, you know, short enterprises. They had like 8 McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they netted for their family around $800,000 a year, somewhere around there. So now you're in, you know, the top 1% or whatever, but you have the risk of owning and operating 8 stores and adhering to all the standards and employing people and keeping up with all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's your responsibility. You're taking on that risk. And if guess what? In Southern Illinois, if people start to move out, your store no longer makes money, the corporate will shut you down.
By the way, you know who doesn't technically have to worry about this is Panera.
Panera, yeah.
In California, a fast food restaurant that operates a bakery that produces for sale on the establishment's premises bread will be exempt from the new wage law. According to the bill, this exemption applies only where the establishment produces for sale bread as a standalone menu item and does not apply if the bread is available for sale solely as part of another menu, like Subway. You know, if they make their bread there, which they still don't probably, but
well, now
you get
the
idea.
All you have to do is add an item.
Yeah.
Like
bread.
Buy a loaf.
I can't wait for McDonald's rolls to come out.
I know.
Made in-house. Yeah. So I wanted to know
And they should just put it on there, bread. $1.99 bread.
Unemployment rates for states in the U.S. The lowest unemployment rate is in North Dakota.
Because no one lives there.
Followed closely by South Dakota.
No one lives there
everywhere,
either.
Everyone in those states is clearly just giving up. Yeah. Okay, that's what it is. Yeah. Okay, then you got Vermont, Maryland, Nebraska. We don't have to go through the entire
all the
thing.
Other states?
All the other states. And oddly enough, it's not even number 50. Number 51 is California.
Behind Puerto Rico.
Behind the District of Columbia.
Oh. I thought it was behind Puerto Rico that was ravaged by a hurricane not that long ago.
California comes in at 5.3 on its unemployment rate. Other states in here include Illinois, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, D.C. Nevada's number 50. What's going on there?
Weird, they're counting Kentucky. They must not count the moonshiners.
How about that? No, those don't count. California's got one of the highest minimum wages already. District of Columbia has the highest one. California's got 16 statewide. This is 20 for fast food workers, except for Panera, because of bread.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about that. Illinois, also one of the highest ones. And you typically see a lot of people fleeing these states, trying to go to better places to live because they're too expensive. And homeless people are just getting stuff all over you all the time. You're walking through poo and all that. Anyhow, I wanted to also look at what it is in the U.S. for. So people who work at fast food restaurants, those are typically your low skill or low you don't have a lot of experience, like low work experience workers. Not always. There's people been working at McDonald's for a long time. They love it. They're running the joint, you know. They get there at 3 o'clock every morning and they're opening up the store and all that, whatever. If you look at your younger people, you know, younger people tend to have less on the job experience, less work training, more low skilled workers. And for 20 to 24 years old, that rate is 7.2% unemployment. And for like 16 to 19, that rate is 12.5% unemployment rate. Why is that important? Because those workers, 16 to 24, are typically the people who go to work at places like fast food restaurants. Those are like your introductory jobs into the labor force. And you tend to find out that those age ranges also have way higher unemployment.
Well,
also,
are you not taking into account the teen mom?
No.
Who's trying to support a family of four.
Mm-mm.
That's a 16-year-old.
It's a very high portion of America right there. A lot of people in the population. Single, 18-year-old mother supporting a family of four.
I mean, she had to go on Teen Mom just to get a check. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's right.
So
it's probably worth it. I don't know. We'll see how the kids turn out. Anyhow, 7.2, 12.5, why does that matter? Those are people who typically go to work minimum wage jobs. And what if you don't have the skills? What if you're not worth that amount of money? Some people
don't get any experience.
You don't get the job.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You get replaced by a machine or a touch screen, something like that. California's unemployment rate for ages 16 to 19 is 14%. So it is still higher than the national average. And for 20 to 24 is a little over 8%, so also higher than the national average. And I would argue that has something to do with them having a higher minimum wage, because it turns out that those young people who have never worked a job before and just sitting there on their phones doing stupid crap on TikTok and Snapchat all the time, probably not worth that much money. And wouldn't it be better if you just had a computer that would do it for you? That's what we're actually going to move to. You price people out of the labor force. And what you end up hearing from people is, well, if they can't afford to pay a living wage to people, they shouldn't be in business. Or we should get a universal basic income. And those are all a result of things that the government does to price people out of the labor force. They make things too expensive. Like these people who can't get a job now because they're not worth $20 an hour. Well, they're also going to hate the fact that McDonald's, typically the cheapest place to get food, is way more expensive than it used to be. And so they're negatively affected on both ends, you know, and in the middle out, I bet.
You know, it's hard to go to McDonald's for less than $20 now. I mean,
with a family of four.
You're looking at $100, family of four now.
And I go there for less than 20 all the time. So I'm trying to figure out how.
Oh, two people.
Two people. I got you. Yeah. Happy meals, you know. What are you going to do?
I'm not very happy with those.
No, though. Those unhappy meals these days. One more thing on California, because they are terrible at economics. They're good at being a large state that has an ocean next to it and a bunch of people. They kill it at doing that. Okay.
Nice weather.
And they're good at weather, mostly, having an ocean and a lot of land and people living there. They totally crush it when it comes to those things, you know. But when it comes to economics, real, real bad at that. And one thing I've seen a lot of people saying is that, well, home insurance, you just can't get home insurance in California. And that's because of climate change. It's because of climate change that people can't get home insurance in California. It's actually because California won't let the insurance companies raise their rates to market pricing. They've got like a bureau, they got like a commissioner of insurance there, you know, probably with the industrial relations board or whatever those people are. And they're like, no, you can't raise the rates. You know, you just can't do that. And so they now have this FAIR plan, this FAIR access to insurance requirements. State created, industry funded, insurer of last resort. One that only provides bare bones coverage because people just can't get insurance anymore. In fact, in this last one, State Farm canceled 72,000 California insurance policies recently. And if they just, the thing that they don't understand in California is market pricing. And you can't get around market pricing. Okay.
See, this is exactly what I wanted.
It is. It is. This is another just white pill for Charlie.
Leave. This is perfect. This is working out exactly as they want it to.
Do you think that's actually what we need to argue for is, you know, is...
Yes, let them have it.
Yeah?
Let them have it.
What about people who didn't vote for this, though?
They should leave.
They should leave.
Too.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people are doing. They let them have it. Turn the whole state of California into Detroit. You know? Let them have all their policies. Washington, too.
The whole place. The state or the city?
Washington, the state. Yes. And the city.
Mm-hmm.
D.C. Oregon, throw it up in there with it.
Yeah, we don't want Oregon either.
You know, Portland. Yeah, all these people that if you advocate for these policies and you pass these policies, you're voting for these people who are passing terrible policies. Let them have it.
Mm-hmm.
Let them have their deepest, darkest desires. And then when they don't have a state anymore, you know, they're like, oh, I can't.
They'll just get a bailout from the federal government, probably.
Maybe not.
That's what's unfortunately
going to
happen.
The problem is we sent all our money to Ukraine, so we won't have any for California.
I'm not going to go through that whole insurance thing. Just know that California sucks at market rates, and the people there are suffering the consequences right now.
Good.
And maybe someday they're going to figure it out.
Good. I hope they all quit. Every business in California.
Everyone just leaves.
Yes.
I do get happy when I see the businesses leaving California. It makes me feel good.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Even Joe Rogan, of all people, left California. Mm-hmm. I hope they have Pizza Hut. Yeah, get them all out of there. All right. This is from the CDC. Now, this is March 1st. We're behind the times here.
We are behind.
Month, but the CDC has updated their respiratory virus guidance. Now, why didn't we hear about this on the news?
Not a lot of people talking about this. No.
So this is what to do when you are sick with the respiratory virus.
Crap.
What is the updated guidance? Well, first of all, you need to protect yourself from getting sick. The most important thing you can do to protect yourself from COVID-19, the flu, and RSV, they're all grouped together there.
That's weird.
Is to stay up to date on your recommended vaccines. Even when vaccines don't prevent infection, they often tame these viruses, reducing severity and preventing their worst outcomes like hospitalization and death. Along with staying up to date on your vaccines, practicing good hygiene by covering your coughs and sneezes, washing or sanitizing your hands often, and cleaning frequently touched surfaces can help.
Mm.
Taking steps for cleaner air can help reduce the spread of respiratory viruses. This can mean bringing in fresh outside air by opening a window. Unless you're in California, people break in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Purifying indoor air or having outdoor social activities.
Now, the interesting part about this first paragraph, as you noted, is that they have now officially grouped together COVID-19, the flu, and RSV, and they're giving the same guidance for all three of those things. And even in this first paragraph here, they mentioned that vaccines may not prevent infection, which is kind of a new thing as well. And so first off, when you think about COVID-19 and the flu being grouped together, you know, the video you sent me made good points on this. Like, this is something you can't say. You can't say that we should treat COVID-19 like the flu. No way. No way at all. Except for right now, the CDC says that we should treat COVID-19 like the flu. I think that makes them conspiracy theorists or whatever the words are for this kind of thing.
It gets better or worse. I don't know
if it's better or worse, but this, this right here that I circled in, why has this guidance been updated, seemed to be pretty important too.
Yeah. Well, go back one, cause I think there is a, let's see.
I didn't find anything else, of note.
Oh,
but
it says, oh, here it is right here. So if you get sick, okay, it says if you practice these core preventions, they've got these steps here. And in the CDC right here, it says, this advice is similar to what has been recommended for flu for decades and will help reduce the spread of COVID-19 and other respiratory viruses during the most contagious periods after infection.
Hmm.
This advice is similar to what has been recommended for flu.
For decades.
Now, just a year ago, if you were to say that you should treat COVID-19, which I know was the worst virus in human history.
The worst thing that's ever happened. So
it shut down shipping lanes.
I've never seen a virus do this specifically before.
It's like it walled up the ocean in front of the ship.
It caused unemployment. And inflation. How did they put that into its
gene sequencing? And Putin then on a crazy country overhaul, like just taking over the world.
I know.
And his price hikes.
I know.
Yeah. And if you would have said just, I don't know, maybe even 6 months ago, a year ago, definitely 2 years ago, if you would have said back in 2021, 2022, and we know this because we got shadow banned and banned and shadow banned and demonetized and we're still dealing with it. You would have been literally taken off the internet. You would have been shadow banned and you would have been banned and you would have been demonetized and you'd have been all kinds of stuff. But now all of a sudden the CDC is saying COVID-19, the flu and RSV, you treat them.
Same.
You treat them like you would the flu. For decades, you stay home, you resume normal activities and add prevention strategies. If you have a fever, you stay home for 24 hours, no longer the 10-day, lock yourself in a basement room and never see the light for 10 days, put yourself in solitary confinement.
So the interesting part about this is that I remember us saying that eventually we would just come to treat COVID-19 like the flu because
go back and listen to the episodes.
We've said that a bunch of times for sure. And you know, the video you sent me pointed out the fact that oddly enough, the flu cases were really low during the COVID time. I do wonder if there's any crossover between COVID-19 and the flu and people that were diagnosed with that. I'm not going to send out that conspiracy theory. It's just a question. But then the other part is that we said, why is the guidance updated? Well, the CDC says, that hospital admissions have decreased by more than 75%, deaths by more than 90 compared to January 22. Importantly, these diseases have continued through a full respiratory virus season despite levels of viral activity similar to the prior years. Here's the parts that I have highlighted. Almost 98% of people in the United States have antibodies against COVID-19 because of prior vaccination, infection, or both.
What? This is that, what's that called again? It's not natural immunity. This is post-infection immunity.
Post-infection immunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Herd immunity.
No.
Herd.
Like I heard about immunity.
Yeah, heard like, that immunity.
You heard that?
Yeah. So anyway, here's what happened. Enough people in the U.S. either got vaccinated or got COVID. Most people who got vaccinated got COVID also. They all have enough antibodies that we're not as worried about it anymore. Essentially, it took us 3 years to catch up to Sweden. And now we're where Sweden is.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
So anyhow, it's frustrating when you think about all of the things that changed over the last few years because of COVID-19. And
you have to be super pissed because, like, specifically your livelihood was directly affected.
Was it?
Yeah.
What was I doing?
What do you mean?
Oh, posting videos on stuff?
Well, I mean, like, the amount of money we were making, which yeah. could have led to you actually making more money.
Yeah.
It directly mm-hmm. affected that.
It did. Now I don't even use, like, I don't use Facebook much because I'm just worried that we're going to get banned on it. Mm-hmm. I'm second guessing right now whether or not we're going to post this on YouTube. You know, we gained 5,000 YouTube subscribers over the last month, and I'm worried that I'm going to post this today and mess that up. And
you know what I say, though? Yeah, bleep this for the radio, but fuck them. Post it.
Yeah.
Post the truth.
Yeah.
You know, don't let them deter us. They haven't for 4 years. They That's tried true. To take us down. We're still here. Not because we want to be.
We're not victims. Okay.
Exactly.
They tried to break our bodies and yes. our spirits, but we're not going to let them do it.
That's exactly what
we're going to keep going.
Oh, pop copy.
I stopped looking at the chat because someone posted something I couldn't look at. Why? Because that's why.
This is so frustrating. It is extremely frustrating because we had a great trajectory. We were growing. The money was coming in. We were reinvesting into advertising. And then all of a sudden, it came to a halt. We literally lost 99%. If you look at our data, it's unbelievable. It was straight down. Like, literally, the chart goes straight down for no reason.
Just hit a wall.
Yeah. Well, first it went straight down and then hit a wall. And then every now and then, they'll let us have a little blip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we're still dealing with the effects of being right.
So make sure that you go to all of our social media pages. Go to BernieLies.com. That'll bring up everything. And go like and share and comment and do all that stuff. Leave a rating and review on the podcast so you can fight the tyrannical algorithms with us.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tehibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.